Now I invite you to please pray with me and for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence and we ask you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we're going to be using our Bibles, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. So if you're at home, you didn't grab a Bible yet, grab one. And if you have one of the church pew Bibles, we're on page 836 for Mark chapter 1. This historical narrative from Mark puts the concept of authority front and center. Now, authority can be considered a four-letter word for many people in our culture. Authority being negative, threatening, domineering, toxic. Now, authority, the word, it can be defined as the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience. Now, I wanted to have a good example of authority as we were talking about authority, and I had to reflect for a little bit of time before I could come up with one that I thought would be universally good. And actually, I came upon a great example for this morning, and it involves one of our Church of the Redeemer members. Chris Winfrey works for Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, JSO, and his partner is a canine named Renegade. To ensure I had a correct understanding of the dynamics, I made sure to talk to Chris, and I also spoke with his very proud father, Tracy. They set me straight. Now, Chris and Renegade have worked together since Renegade was a puppy, and their relationship is a beautiful picture of healthy authority. And three aspects of their partnership stood out to me. First, Chris has all of the authority in that relationship. Chris gives all of the orders. He makes all of the decisions. Renegade, he does what he's instructed and stops when he's told. But one little dynamic there also, Renegade loves what he does. He loves working with Chris. He loves taking orders from Chris. So the second part is Renegade's obedience. Renegade will only respond to commands from Chris. Renegade knows Chris's voice. I can be standing there and I can shout the exact same commands to Renegade. He's not going to listen to me. So Renegade knows Chris's voice. Third aspect of their relationship is the love that undergirds it. Chris and Renegade love each other deeply. And all of their interactions are grounded in their love for and their trust in one another. So with that picture of authority in mind, let's take a look at Mark chapter 1 again and reflect on authority as it's revealed in and through Jesus. So we're on Mark chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to read 21 and 22. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. So first we read, they went into Capernaum. Who is they? Well, if you look at the previous verses, they is Jesus and the four fishermen that he had called to follow him, Peter and Andrew, James and John. So they're following Jesus. They heard him invite. They heard his invitation, and they are following. And now verse 22, or he goes, they go into the Sabbath, and he entered the synagogue and was teaching, he being Jesus. But now we encounter they again. They is not just these four disciples, but this is everybody in the synagogue. Verse 22, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. The people in attendance marveled because they immediately recognized that Jesus' teaching was different. Now, scribes, they were experts in the law, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, or the Torah. They reminded people what the Torah said. They informed them. They shared traditions around God's law. They interpreted the law. And they were teaching the people how they should live in response to God's law. Jesus' way of teaching was very different. And it was so different that people marveled. They could tell he wasn't just repeating what he had been taught or what he had learned. I believe they heard in his teaching ownership of God's word. He was the living word. And also they heard power and life in his words. It was different than anything else that they had heard. So they're marveling at his teaching. And we continue with verse 23. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now the unclean spirit, as Mark refers, or Luke refers to him as a demon. The demon sees Jesus and without hesitating identifies Jesus' authority and identifies the reason for Jesus' authority. He first says, "What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us?" The demon acknowledges Jesus has authority to destroy him. And then he displays the reason for Jesus' authority, and that's Jesus' identity. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This demon identifies Jesus for who he is, the Messiah, God the Son, the Savior. So we come now to verse 25. But Jesus rebuked him. Sharp disapproval. I don't believe Jesus said, "Be silent." I'm pretty sure Jesus said something more like, "Quiet!" And the demon obeyed. "Be silent and come out of him." And immediately, the demon obeys without hesitation. The demon knows who Jesus is, recognizes his authority, recognizes that he has no rights in this relationship, and he obeys. And it says in the next verse, 27, they were all amazed, but this is a different word than astonished from our earlier reading. They were all amazed. This is the same word that was used when scriptures describe the disciples in the boat. They were drowning. They wake up Jesus, and Jesus says to the storm, what does he say? "Be quiet." And the storm silence stops. And they were amazed. They marveled. This is the feeling that the synagogue has as Jesus uses the same words, "Be quiet." They then marvel in verse 27. What is this? They look to one another. What is this? What is this teaching with authority and authority over evil spirits? You'd think they might have listened to the demon. Oh, what is this? This is the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus was just identified. What we have here is a clear identification of who Jesus is, his identity. And it comes from the spiritual realm, from the voice of a demon. We see who Jesus is, and we see the power and authority that he possesses. But Jesus isn't just a magnetic personality or a strong, authoritative person. He is, as the demon declared, the Holy One of God. So the demon has no choice but to obey Jesus. And as I reflected on this passage, I found myself a little unsettled. It mentions Jesus taught with authority. Then Jesus exercises authority, casting out the demon. Then it says they marveled at his authority. And as I reflected on authority, I was unsettled because The demon obeyed Jesus without hesitation. And I wondered, why don't I always respond that definitively when Jesus asks me to do something? I was challenged. Why do I question? Why do I hesitate? Why is it hard to do what Jesus asks me to do when I know who he is and I should be able to trust? Well, I see two reasons for that, because we all struggle with that. First, you and I, we were created by God differently from every other living thing. We were created in God's image. Male and female, we were created. And we were created with souls, unlike any other creature. And we were created with freedom to make choices, choices that could impact eternity. We weren't robots. We weren't just animals with no choice. Mankind were created with souls and freedom, freedom to obey or freedom not to obey the Lord's will. Now, that freedom led to humanity's fall. It led to disobedience to God's instruction and resulted to all of mankind, every man and woman, being stained with sin. We are all sinful. We all have a sinful nature. So we now have freedom to worship and follow God, or freedom to make the choice to go a different direction. Complicating things, we have a sinful nature that negatively influences our ability to choose the Lord's way. It works against us. The Apostle Paul struggled with doing the wrong things, and he wrote in Romans 7, a great description of what that helplessness looks like. Turn to page 944 now, to Romans chapter 7. That's why we have our Bibles. The Apostle Paul couldn't get it right, and he struggled. Martin Luther famously couldn't get it right, and he struggled. I'm not doing the right things. I can't always get it right, and I struggle. We all have this struggle. So we're on page 944, Romans chapter 7, and we're at the end of the chapter 7, verse 21. We're going to read through chapter 8, verse 2. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? There deserves a pause there. And then Paul continues, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Christ Jesus, the Holy One of God, died on the cross, was resurrected from the grave, giving forgiveness, giving freedom and new life to all who would believe in and follow him. And apart from Jesus, as Paul describes, we're helpless, we're dead in our sin. We're unable to turn away from our sinful impulses and our own strength. It's in Christ. This is the good news of the gospel. In Christ, we are made alive. By faith in his name, we are filled with his Holy Spirit. We are set free from the law of sin and death. And skipping down to verse 10 of chapter 8, Paul continues, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells within you. So faith in Jesus and following Jesus, you will have life in your mortal body not available through anything else in this world. Only available through faith in Jesus. And you will have eternal life after death by the indwelling Spirit of God. So we know that the Scriptures promise new life and new hope and peace that passes all understanding in Jesus Christ. And our sinful nature continues to challenge and question and doubt as we seek to follow. Always seeking to keep us away from Jesus, from God's way. Again, faced with this truth, I found myself wondering, why is it so hard to obey Jesus without hesitation? Why do I continue to struggle? Well, one reason is that I had to admit to myself, in my flesh, I question Jesus' authority. The demon doesn't question Jesus' authority, but I do. I still think I've got a better way. At times, my freedom leads me to make decisions, sometimes contrary, to question Jesus' way. I question if his ways are the best ways. I question if he knows what's best for me. I question if I can trust him. I question when my ways or the world's ways look so much better, so much safer, so much more fun. And this is where it's crucial to remember that Jesus' authority is grounded in his love for you. Tony Evans said it this way, "The gospel is not what we get, but the gospel is who is with you and who is for you." Recall Chris and Renegade. Thinking about that, who is with you and who is for you? Chris is with Renegade and Chris is for Renegade. And even though Chris is the authority, with all the power, it's deeply rooted in love that undergirds their relationship. Now, as we look to God, we must multiply that love exponentially. Jesus loves you beyond human comprehension. Jesus died for you when you were yet in rebellion and sin. And Jesus offered you new life that you did not deserve and that you cannot earn. It's a gift freely given. Jesus' authority is entirely unlike any authority you've experienced in life. Because we've all had authority at one time or another injure us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But Jesus' authority is grounded in his transcendent love. Our final turn in our Bibles is to John 13, page 900. We're going to take a look at this love that Jesus has for us in the midst of his authority. John 13, we're going to read verses 1 and 3. This is the time of the Last Supper. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Skipping to verse 3. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper and he washed the disciples' feet." Jesus loved his own who were in the world. That includes you and me, as we are still in the world. We are his people. He loves us the same way. And possessing all authority, he loved. He could have thwarted the plan of the religious leaders. He could have hamstrung the political authorities. He could have freed the Jewish people to rule the land as they expected. And Jesus instead loved his people. He loved you. Taking the role of the lowest slave, he had all authority given to him. He takes the role of the lowest slave and he washes their feet. And then he willingly gives up his life on the cross. He died for you. And he offers his new life and his new priorities and his new ways and his new purpose to you as a gift. He offers peace, supreme hope, hope for eternal life after death. He offers all of that to you through faith in his name. Now today, if you hear his voice, if you are hearing the Lord Jesus' voice through me, then you have a decision to make, to obey and receive what he offers you, or to disobey and to reject. Today, this may be a message you have never heard before. You've never comprehended before that Jesus loves you and that Jesus offers you new life in his name. If this is you, I implore you to receive Jesus' gift. Receive his new life and begin living with his hope and his peace filled with his Holy Spirit. This may be a message you've heard before, but at this moment, you're choosing your own way instead of God's way. You sense God may be calling you to something different, but you're not interested. You're not ready. I hope this message today rattles your foundation and leads you to reconsider in whom you trust. Now, this may be a message that many of you have already responded to. You've received Jesus. You've been forgiven by faith in his name, and you seek to hear and follow his voice every day. Are Jesus' plans for you the best plans? Okay, some of you are convinced of that. That's good. Yes, Jesus' plans for you are the best plans because he is the authority and the way, the truth, and the life. In light of that, I have a challenge for you today. I challenge you to take time later today or this week. Set aside 30 minutes or an hour to be quiet, just you and the Lord. Reflect on where your life is. Reflect on your life. Reflect on where you think God's speaking to you. What you think the Lord is calling you to be about. Remember, the demons obeyed Jesus' voice without hesitation. Ask yourself, where's the Lord Jesus speaking to me? Or where I'm questioning, where I'm hesitating, where I'm not obeying or following. What's the Lord calling you to do or not to do? What's the Lord calling you to start or to stop doing? Perhaps in what new direction is the Lord prompting you to go that you're hesitating? You're not sure if that's a good idea. You're sure the Lord's prompting you. You're just not sure you want to go. I want to close on the bottom of page 901, reading from John 14, verse 18. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in his name, the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ is new life, new hope, new purpose, the right purpose, and eternal life. It's the only place to find hope and peace. Jesus is continuing to teach in the midst of this final meal. And I leave you with his words. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and manifest myself to them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.